Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home and away games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York. Welcome here live on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt and here Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora at Orange Crate Brewing Company. Another early game, another forcing people after working all week to wake up really early. So we are here, Dan Tortora, alongside Rob Drummond, Syracuse Orange alum and NFL alum, and we're going to be doing a lot of different things today. So for those listening in on the live feed, you're going to have to come out to Orange Crate Brewing Company for this. We're giving away two tickets to meet Tyrod Taylor. Meet and greet is going to be in Buffalo at Get Air out in Buffalo there, the indoor trampoline park. If you want to have an opportunity to be in the drawing to meet Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback of the Bills, you got to be out here. And we're going to be doing pre-sale tickets for my event at Get Air Syracuse with Floyd Little, the meet and greet that's going to be coming up right after the LSU game, Sunday, September 27th. We'll be doing it from 2 to 4. But before we get to any of those giveaways, very early here, waking up, I just drove from, before we say anything, I want to give a shout out to, for the first time ever, to Elijah David Smith, who is one of my closest friends, had his first baby last night, 3:48 in the morning, and I was out in Harrisburg for the birth of Elijah. So I'm very happy to say that we get to kick off this show, win or lose, whatever happens with Syracuse, by saying that I'm very happy to be an uncle and very honored that one of my closest friends gave me that honor. So with that, we'll start off here. Rob, how's everything been going? I know that you've obviously been watching this 2-0 team very closely. How are things been going so far?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, early morning. I'm not used to these early morning. At least we played at 1 back when I played, you know. But it is game day. You know, adrenaline gets going. You know, these players are not worried about whether it be 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock at night. You know, they're ready to play. 2-0 is a good start, but it's just a start. You know, they still have to sustain what they've been doing, you know, stay focused and not take this team lightly, because this is what you consider one of those trap games. The game they're supposed to win. Two games they played before where they've blown their opponent out. They've done what they're supposed to do. But it's a game they can't take their foot off the brake. They have to go out there and do the same thing they've been doing for the past couple of weeks, and they'll be just fine.
The biggest guy that's being talked about in this game, and you're listening to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora live from Orange Crate Brewing Company here on site and online at mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. When you look at Cooper Rush, the quarterback of this Central Michigan team coming in, he's better than he has been. And he's already thrown for over 5,000 yards. He's already been a dual threat. But Scott Schaefer keeps talking about the fact that he's constantly growing, constantly getting better. From the quarterbacks we've seen so far, is it fair to say that Cooper, even though Walford put up 373 passing yards, is Cooper the best quarterback that Syracuse has seen early on?
Oh, this by far is the best quarterback they've seen by far up until this point. The simple fact that, you really, for me personally, he has to be able to pass the ball, because their ground game averages about 2.3, 2.4 yards per carry, you know. But that being said, Syracuse has a challenge for him today, because this quarterback is seasoned. He understands their offense. They gave a tough Okie State game, the opening game of the year for them, a tough run. And Okie State didn't pull it out till late in that game. So this is a game Syracuse better be on point and better be ready to play, because this young man is definitely coming to play.
When you look at Syracuse's defense, 373 passing yards given up, the secondary has been an issue for a while. Julian Wiggum's gotten better as the true veteran among anybody on the team. And then on the other side, obviously Corey Winfield has done a lot of good work in a short amount of time, being a starting corner, coming in as a wide receiver. So even though they're growing, even though they're getting better, even though they're progressing, almost 400 yards given up in the passing game. But that's Florida State. We're looking at a totally different outcome. What can you say about what Syracuse gave up, even though they won?
You know what? Coach Bull's defense, and I said before the season even started, you know what? They're a young group. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fly around, and they're going to hit you. The thing that bodes well for them is that they're young. You know, and I understand myself because I played as a freshman. I played as a sophomore myself, you know, and I learned from the mistakes I made so I didn't repeat the same mistakes as I got older. So right now, this defense, early on in the season, is flying around, having fun, and trying to understand the defense that's been imposed on them. They'll be just fine. You know what? They're going to make their mistakes. They're going to take their lumps. But the thing you have to learn is, especially on defense, is you have to have short-term memory. If you give up a touchdown, forget about it. Go on to the next play, because just because you give a touchdown up doesn't mean the game is over. So you have to be just go out there and be consistent. Understand you're going to make mistakes. Stop trying to be perfect and fly around and have fun.
When you look at the secondary, because it's filled with a lot of youth, there's redshirt freshmen, you know, there's sophomores out there. When you look at a guy like Rodney Williams, the intent was that he was going to play as a true freshman. When he came in, a Northeast guy, knows how to play football up here, the mentality was that he was going to be out there, and injury is what sidelined him, not anything he did in practice. Going into this game for the first time ever on the depth chart, he's on the return game. Now, I saw him returning kicks in practice through the fall, but now we're going to actually potentially see the first defensive player return either a punt or a kick here. Right now he's on punt return. What can you say about a guy like Rodney and what he's done so far, and knowing that the last time Syracuse had a safety, Richie Desir, not only good hands, but good yardage on that. Not to take anything for Grizzly esteem, but knowing that another defensive guy is going to be back there.
The funny thing is, though, in the football family or football group, we always say defensive backs are wide receivers they can't catch. So that's a funny saying. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The greatest return man pretty much I've ever seen, you know, is Deion Sanders. He was the defensive guy. If you got talents, you got talents. I mean, it doesn't matter which side of the ball you come from, whether it be the offense or defense. You know, this young man's going to get his opportunity. He's going to get a chance. Is he going to make a mistake? I hope not. Will he? Possibly. He's a young player, you know, so you just got to go out there, stay relaxed, and play the game that, you know, you've been playing since you were a little kid. Look, you have to understand, at this point in time right now, for all those young players out there, this is Division I college football. This is not high school anymore. A few months, 6 months ago, these young men were playing football at their respective high schools. Now, they're playing Division I college football at a major university. So you have to throw all that, you know, behind you to the wayside. And these 18-year-olds, because that's how old some of them are, 18-year-olds. 18-year-olds just have to go out there and play amongst men and step up or sit down.
Who have been the biggest players through two games for Syracuse? When you talk about step up or sit down, who stepped up in your mind the most right now? If you had to pick three guys out of the entire team, offense, defense, special teams, that you think really have been the guys to step up and lead at this point, even though it's early, who would those people be?
I mean, it's hard to say because these are two games that, honestly, I mean, going through the pregame before the season started, I'd say these are games that should win. These are games that they should win easily. Eric Dungy, I would say, is the main contributor. But, you know, after seeing his game film this offseason, after, like, I talked to you and found out he signed, I said to myself, you know, I said it quietly because I'm not a very vocal person in the sense that I know a lot about football, but I keep it to myself a lot because a lot of people get bitten or anything because I don't know what it is. But I said to myself, this young man has a chance to start over Terrell Hunt because he's more polished, even as an incoming freshman, I thought, than Terrell Hunt. I thought Terrell, as good as he was, just didn't seem comfortable back there in the pocket before he got hurt last year. And then even going into the first couple drives this year, I was just like, you know what, just something inside me tells me he didn't look comfortable. And when Dungy got in there, just like Dungy had the same attitude, the attitude that I had when I played, you know, and it's not to take away from the game, it's not to take away from football of that nature, but my attitude as a freshman, when I started as a freshman myself, was like, you know what, I'm a freshman. Whatever mistake I make, they're going to chalk it up to a freshman mistake. So I was relaxed every time I was out there, knowing that people expected me to make mistakes. And if I made a mistake, it was because I was only a freshman. Dungy, that's Dungy's approach. He may not say it, he may not be vocal about it, but I can tell. Because his body language, his movements, his presence, everything he does lets me know that this young man is comfortable. And this young man is comfortable for the simple fact that he's a freshman. He's going to make mistakes, and we'll chalk it up to mistakes. So well.
When you look at Dungy, like you said, he's going to make mistakes. In the first half, not a lot of yards coming out of him. In the second half, that's where you see the big influx, but really because of two plays, an 89-yard touchdown, a 53-yard touchdown. The first one, the 89-yard, Grizzly esteem, pass over the middle. Grizzly had to take it out of the hands of the DB. I mean, the guy was on him, grabbed the ball, made that spin move, and then it was off to the races. It's going to be on a stat sheet that it's Eric Dungy's 89-yard pass play. But what can you say about how important Brisley is and how we kind of all know it in the city, but some people that are starting to, you know, watch the team more, pay attention more, come out from under the rock knowing Syracuse is 2-0 and getting back to the dome. What does Brisley do for this team out of all the athletes you've played with and the athletes you've seen? What does he mean to a team like this on plays like that, and what else can come if he does stay healthy?
I think Brisley and Steve, aside, both give this team the deep threats that we haven't had in a long time. You know, they both have a year under their belt. You know what? They're both speed burners. You know, they can get the ball and take it to the house. You know, so it gives them another added dimension, you know, in Lester's offense. They're going to make plays. They're definitely going to make a lot of plays, and hopefully right now they're going to make more plays than not. The thing for Syracuse that I'm looking forward to seeing as a former player and a former someone who understands the game of football is how they live through adversity. And by adversity, I mean, you know, how they handle that first loss, you know, because I'd love for them to go 11-0, 12-0 to an undefeated season. But, I mean, I'm not a gambler, but the chances of that happening are, you know, slim and none, because there's only two teams in the history of Syracuse that have ever done it. I happen to be a part of one of those teams, and I realized how hard that was. You know, so for such a young crew to understand what it's like to have a loss and how you deal with that loss, how you prepare after that loss, how you know, push that loss to the back burner, you know, and that's the one thing for a young group that I'm really interested to find out, you know, how they're going to handle. But for right now, they have all the weapons, all the tools in the place, and they're learning the game as they go along. And that's the one thing that I look forward to seeing, you know, each and every game I approach is how much they mature after every game.
You look at maturity, speaking here, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora live at Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave. Early morning games, make your way out. So there's some tailgaters that have been true to getting up very early this season with having a 12:30 p.m. game, a 12:30 p.m. game, and then next week having a noon game for LSU when the hope was, you know, 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock, Syracuse going to actually start things on that Saturday with a noon game either on ESPN or ABC. So looking at a team like LSU, as we talk here from Orange Crate, Rob, you played the strong teams, the good teams, the teams that were in the top 25, the teams that were supposed to win it all, the LSUs of the world. You won those games. You know what it's like to be part of an undefeated season. Not just talking about matchups, because you beat teams that people had on paper you weren't supposed to. Syracuse is in the same situation where we live today. The Florida States, the Clemsons, those are games Syracuse is not supposed to win. What got you guys over the hump? Because we can talk about talent till the cows come home. We can talk about coaching and whatnot. But there's something about mental toughness, resolve, and a belief that you can't teach people. What was it about that undefeated season that you had that got you past the teams? What are those intangibles that Syracuse would need to have moving forward today?
You know what, for me personally, because all I can ever do is speak on me and the team I played for, I'm not in the current Syracuse University locker room, and I don't understand those guys' point of view and how they feel, and that thing of nature. For us personally, it was the pride of believing in one another and going out there and just, you know, at the time, the five-star, four-star, three-star recruit process wasn't out. You know, but a lot of guys that I played with, they weren't five-star, they weren't four-star, they weren't even three-star athletes. You know what? They were hard, blue-collar, hard-working athletes that basically got an opportunity, but given a scholarship by Coach Mack, and went out there and put their heart and soul, not just to every game, but to put their heart and soul into every practice and try to be the best athletes they possibly could. That was one thing, God bless him, that I would say about Coach Mack. Coach Mack had a knack of getting the absolute utmost greatest ability out of every single athlete that he brought to that university. You know, we play with pride, we play with passion, we play with a love for the game like no one ever saw, you know, and as a cohesive group, as I said before, these young men living through adversity, anytime we would get knocked down, we find a way to stand back up, brush ourselves off, and keep coming back. That's the one thing this team's going to have to find, define their identity. We found our identity. We found our identity early, you know, in the great glory years, I should say. You know, this team right now has to find their identity. Did they beat teams they're supposed to beat? Yes, of course. So did we. But you know what? You move past that. You know, the one thing that bothered me that I was getting ready this morning, I was watching the news. And I don't know, Stephen Bonte was talking in the news, and he talked about Syracuse being, if they win this game, being halfway to being bowl eligible. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, it's like, are you kidding me? So we're at this point now to where it has to be talking about bowl games. I mean, have we fallen that low where you're talking about bowl games after three games? How about just talking about, you know, winning the next game and winning the next game and just worry about winning, I mean, beating LSU as opposed to talking about bowl games. So it's two games in the season. We're already talking bowl. And that bothered me because as a player, when you step onto that field, don't worry about the bowl. You know, that's the end of the rainbow. Worry about the next task in front of you, because if you start thinking about that next, stop thinking about that next task in front of you, so you know, by the time that bowl season runs around, you'll be 2-10, 2-11. So worry about the task at hand, which Coach Matt used to always say. Worry about what's in front of you and worry about this game right now before you start considering bowl games. But that's not the players. That's the media. And I'm a media guy now, I guess. But you know what? It's some things bother me as a player that when I hear it, it's like, you know what? We're two games in the season. Why is there a mention of being bowl eligible after three games and being halfway there? It's like, that just bothered me.
And when you look at that, I mean, that seems to be the only conversation. And every year going into the season, it's, Dan, what's your prediction? Can we get to six? Is it possible? Are they going to be bowl eligible? And bowl eligible seems to be, like you said, it's the be-all, end-all. If Syracuse does not get to six wins, then certain fans drop off. They walk away. They don't want to be a part of it. There's your diehard fans. And then there's the people that, you know, well, I have nothing else to do Saturday, so I'm going to come out. Those people are not really wanted in the Dome. I know the ones that are wanted in the Dome are the true believers. But when you get into a conversation of just getting the six, it's mediocrity. And I think people forget that Paul Pasqualoni was fired for mediocrity. He was fired for 6-6 his last two seasons, which wasn't good enough at that time because of what he had been doing before. So if we're striving for mediocrity, we're striving for what was fireable, a fireable offense a few years back. So I think, you know, Scott says it, and, you know, when Scott Schaefer talks about it, he says, you know, it is, people think it's coach speak and it's not truth, but, you know, he said there's a lot of honesty to it. It's one game at a time. Any team that looks past Central Michigan to Florida State, looks past Central Michigan to LSU, those are the games where you get yourself in trouble. Those are the games where you make mistakes. So it has to be about Central Michigan right now. And through these two games, you know, when we go into what Central Michigan can do, controlling the controllables is another thing Schaefer talks about. How well do you think Eric Dungy has done as a true freshman controlling what he can control on the field as he goes forward? Because as you said, when you're a true freshman, chalk it up to a freshman mistake. How well has he done staying away from some of those mistakes?
You know what, Dungy has done a great job for the simple fact that as a young man coming in, he's done everything asked of him. There's gonna be, as the season goes along, there's going to be a lot more put on his shoulders, you know. But he's handling it very well. He seems like a very mature young man. You know, personally, I haven't met him. But, you know, from what I hear about him, you know, he's a very coachable young man. You know, he absorbs the playbook. He had a feel for the playbook coming in, which is his elevation to the starting quarterback spot. You know, and right now he's just not being rattled. That's the one thing as a true freshman playing that you have to try and understand, you know, try and get in their head and see what they're going through. When he walks out there, he's making reads. He's making a snap count. You know, he's handing the ball off. He's telling the receiver to put in position. He's out there not trying to make a mistake. You know, but in doing that, he's playing well, and he's doing the right things, and he's having the right attitude about getting his guys in control and running the show as the quarterback. That the hardest position on the field, I mean, besides running back, of course I say that, but in the quarterback, because the quarterback basically is a pilot, and he has to control everybody else. For an 18-year-old kid to come in and be able to do the things he's doing right now and do it with the prowess to be able to go out there and not worry about making mistakes, it says a lot about him.
When you look at minimizing mistakes, what are some of those mistakes you've seen from him, some of those issues that maybe you've seen at this point? I know there was one pass that sailed on him. As soon as it left his hand, I was like, that one got away from him, and it went well beyond 5-10 yards from his receiver, and he knew that could have been a pick, and he went straight to Tim Lester and talked to them about it and said, you know, I just let that one get away, because Schaefer actually asked him who he was passing to on that play. But those plays happen. Have you seen a lot of mistakes, or has he done a good job at minimizing them at this point?
You know, not a lot. And it's funny, you know, I sat there at a game last night and I said the same thing to my son before the side of the game, or before the start of the game. He was so excited, you know, and if you can't control that adrenaline, you know, you're so pumped up, you do everything a little bit extra. And by a little bit extra, I mean a ball sailing, you know, tripping over your own feet because you're in such a hurry to get to where you need to go as a running back, you know, jumping offside because you're in such a hurry to hit a guy. You know what, you have to calm your emotions as a football player, because football is an emotional game. Life is an emotional game. You know, but in football, you have to calm it down, relax. And I sat there telling him, like, Rafael, you know, quite a few hours ago, it's like, you know, just breathe, take deep breaths. You'll be fine. It's like, let the game come to you. Don't rush yourself to the game. And I think Dungy is doing a good job of, you know, of taking the game, you know, and just relaxing right now. Does he have his moments? Yes, of course he do. Does every adult on this planet have their moments of doing that? Yes, they do also. He's a human being. But in saying that, you have to be able to control your emotions, control your pace of the game, and just let the game slow down. Slow the game down. Don't speed it up. And he's doing a great job doing that.
Speeding it up. Once he throws that ball, you brought up Risley Esteem, wide receiver on one side, Steve Ishmael on the other. We've talked about recruiting local talent, but we can't deny the fact that two Florida guys are getting the job done. That Floridian speed is something that cannot be taught, and you don't see it everywhere, obviously. Florida has come to be known as one of the best, if not the best, when it comes to schools in general reaching out, you know, schools from Oregon, Texas, New York, Connecticut, going after Florida. When you look at Steve and Brisley, are they the key components to you of this? Because obviously the running game has been strong, we'll talk about that. But without Steve or Brisley, does this whole thing fall apart?
You know what? Everybody's good when you're winning. How are you in adversity and when you start losing? It's like, you know, I've seen guys with all the speed in the world. Look at Randy Moss. Randy Moss is one of the probably greatest receivers ever played. But when they started losing, where was Randy Moss? A no-show. You know? So they're doing a great job, you know, for Syracuse right now. But as I said before, these are two teams they're supposed to be. The game, today's a game they're supposed to win also. You know, they have, you look at talent across the board, they're the more talented team. But, you know, everyone's always, you know, in your face and you're doing great and everyone's doing well and you're winning. I want to see how you do, you know, when adversity hits or when you don't have a one-game losing streak or a two-game losing streak. How do you rally around, you know, around your teammates? How do you rally around a university? How do you rally around a town? You know, because that's the one thing that made us successful back when I played. It's like, you know, we made it my senior year. It's like, you know what, I think we were seventh in the country. We were eighth in the country, you know, and we went to play Ohio State. And Ohio State beat us come back and start complaining, start questioning, start talking about this guy being good, that guy being good. It was like, you know what? That's one game. You know what? We looked at, went into the film room, saw our mistakes, ironed our mistakes up, ended up going to another New Year's Bowl game that year. So it's how you live through adversity which separates the great teams from the bad teams.
When you look at going through adversity, we just got a question online from somebody who's listening live. Jason said, I think this is Cuse's toughest game to date. Central Michigan is a veteran team with a veteran quarterback in Cooper Rush. Do you agree this will be the toughest game? We kind of talked about it a little bit, but toughest game to date, Rhode Island, Wake Forest. Wake Forest has talent at quarterback, not in a lot of other places at this point. I think it's safe to say, I know my answer on this, but Jason would like to for us to address this. Is this the toughest game that Syracuse has played at this moment?
Oh, by far, because so far up until this point this season, this is the most seasoned team that they've played so far, because they played Oklahoma State pretty tough in their home opener this year, you know, and until the fourth quarter, you know, they had a chance in that game. So this is by far going to be a true test for Syracuse and a true test for Dundee. It's going to be a test for that defense to see how they handle a seasoned quarterback like Cooper. You know, so they're definitely going to have to be on there. My grandma used to say P's and Q's to get a victory today, because Central Michigan is not going to lay down for them. And all the success they had against the two teams, the latter teams they had, is going to come very, 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 very tough this afternoon. So, you know, this is one of those challenging games for them. This is one of those trap games. This is one of those games they better go out there, be prepared, be ready to fly around and have fun and play this game like they're capable of playing. If they play like they're capable of playing, they win this game. If they start making mistakes, start faltering, doubting themselves, that's when they're in trouble. And that's what I mean by going through adversity.
That coming from Syracuse and NFL alum Robert Drummond. Myself, Dan Tortora, here live with you. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on Orange Creek Brewing Company, right here on 721 South Krause Avenue, right down the road from the Carrier Dome. And I appreciate everybody that's listening in on the live feed as well, which we launched today in Game 3, and that's mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. So I appreciate who's listening in here. And Jason, that we just answered his question, he said, I see this being a one-score game. They played extremely well versus Oklahoma State. I think the issue with looking at last year on the road against Central Michigan, that we agreed to do this home and home. Last year, Syracuse won 40-3. It was their most convincing victory of very few victories in 2014. But I think the issue with looking at the victory is that Central Michigan's best player, Thomas Rawls, a running back who's now in the NFL, was, and that shows something, because he was injured and still found his way to get better, rehab, and make it to the NFL, not having a full body of work in 2014. Their best player was on the bench. Syracuse doesn't have that situation going into this game. So how much can people, because you know that, you know, people look back and say, well, it was 40-3 last season, so it should be 40-3 this season, or it should be higher. I want to caution people in that respect. And do you feel the same way, knowing that Thomas Rawls, even though he's not on the team anymore, that when you don't have your key ingredient, it makes sense that they would lose a game by 37?
You know what? And I remember that game also. But last year, I mean, the quote which he said, it's like, you know, I was 235 pounds. What does it matter? You know, you can't base everything off last year. This is a new year. This is a new team. This is a new look. This is a new offense. This is a new defense. This is a new special team. This is a new everything. So you can't, we can't look back on last year and say, it's like, you know, because we beat them that bad last year, we should do the same thing. And granted, the running back was out of the game, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You have to approach this game like you're approaching this game for this year and not last year. Forget the past. You know what? In 1987, we were 11-0. So what? I was in 1987. This is a new year. This is 2015. You have to prepare, you know, in a few hours to be able to go out there and play Central Michigan. You're playing, you studied, you practiced against the current team and roster that you saw on game film and that played last week. So that's what you need to prepare for. That's what you better be ready for. The defense better be ready for Cooper Rush, and the offense better be ready to score a lot of points with some young talented players on the team. So worry about the present. Stop worrying about the past.
Did Syracuse get away with one when you look at last week? I mean, before there was the 89-yard play and the 53-yard play, it wasn't a game that was out of reach by any means. Syracuse had had the lead. Wake Forest had the lead back and forth. But if it wasn't for those two plays, there wasn't a lot on paper as far as the passing game that was good. So I know all it takes is one play and you can change everything, but how do you view the Wake Forest game for Syracuse? They won it convincingly on paper, but did they convince you of anything coming off of it?
Convinced me they're a very young but talented team. You know what? Here's the thing. Football is a game of making plays. You know, it's whether you make plays on defense, whether you make plays on offense, whether you make plays on special teams. It's a game of making plays. You know, it's not like basketball. You're not going to see scores 140, 170. Right? I mean, every now and then you'll see a game like that because the other team is just more dominant than the one. But it's a game where it's grind out. You know, 14-7, 21-28, 35. You know what? It's a game of grinding, trying to press your will over the other team's will. You know, and you're going to make plays every now and then. And you're going to mess up every now and then. But the thing is, though, if you mess up one time, say you fumble the ball, they pick the fumble up and run it back for a touchdown. It's like, you know what? Now it's time for you to try and find, you know, counteract that. So it's like a chess match, going back and forth, back and forth. And the last person sometimes that has the ball is the one that wins. So it's a game of going out there and taking the opportunity to do the best with every chance that you get to make a play.
As this team moves forward, looking at making plays, Devontae McFarland, George Morris II, Jordan Fredericks. There's three guys now. True freshman Jordan Fredericks from the state of New York. So not the homegrown backyard, but homegrown in the state of New York. Three guys that Schaefer has come out and told me in a phone call 2 weeks ago that at this point there's three running backs. He even said that he could slide in a fourth because the true freshman walk-on Jacob Hill has impressed him. Take height away from it. Take the fact that he's a walk-on away from it. Schaefer looks at Hart, and he's seen a lot from Jacob, and obviously Jacob did some good things against Rhode Island. Three backs for Syracuse. Would you like to see somebody step up and separate? Would you like to see it be more one, more two? Are you okay with the carousel? Because last year there was too many. Last year there was five. But is three too much, or is three enough?
All right. Again, back when I played, there was Daryl Johnson, Michael Owens, and myself. You know, and we were 11-0 my junior year and 10-1, 10-2 my senior year. So running back by committee for university sometimes is great for the simple fact that, you know, no one's ever tired. You're all well-rested, you know. So you can go out there and you can be the punishing runner, the explosive runner every single time. And for people to say, really, it takes away from the fact that, these guys going to the NFL, things of that nature, it's like, you know what, me and Daryl Johnson still were high draft picks in the NFL draft, so it doesn't take away from that. If you're talented, you're talented. I don't care if you're splitting time or if you're getting less carries or regardless. You know, so I think that tier system always brings a fresh running back in. You know, and there's really no such thing as a guy being in a groove. It's like, you know what, they each bring something to the table as far as athleticism as an athlete, as a running back, that is the team needs. You know, so it's good to have them out there. It's like shifting gears in the car. You know, you can be in first gear for one, you can be in second gear for another, you know, bring another back in, takes you to third gear. So it's a good thing, I think, for the university. And as the season goes along, then they start getting bumps and bruises because, let's be real, the tough part of the season hasn't even started yet. I mean, they're climbing that hill right now. When they get to the top, woof, it's gonna be a whirlwind of talented teams running at them. They better be healthy, and they better be ready to go out there and pound it, you know, and do the things they need to do to be successful, because that's going to be the true test for them.
That coming from Syracuse and NFL alum Robert Drummond. Myself, Dan Tortora, wake up call with Dan Tortora on early game day once again for the Syracuse Orange playing at 12:30 up against Central Michigan. Want to thank those that are listening on the live feed, mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Want to let everybody know that before 11 a.m. today, if you are listening in, to make your way out here and make sure that you get in, you have to be on site for the opportunity to win two tickets to meet Buffalo Bills starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor, and to get your pre-sale tickets for my event with Floyd Little, which will be happening at Get Air Syracuse, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero. I'm very much looking forward to that event. Floyd Little is going to be out the day after the LSU game, Sunday, September 27th, from 2 to 4 p.m. on a meet and greet where he will take pictures and talk with fans. We'll also be able to do a show as well, and so from one running back famous for your history and what you did here in the city to another in Floyd Little. Plenty to come from Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and we'll take a step aside here. Plenty to come on the other side of this break. We thank everybody that's listening in live and implore you to get up out of bed and get yourself down here for the opportunity to meet Tyrod Taylor in that giveaway that we'll be doing for the two tickets, and you'll be able to go to Buffalo and go out and see him as well as Floyd Little in Syracuse. So make your way out here. And we'll talk to you in just a moment. Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home and away games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York. Back here, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live from Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome. Literally roll down the hill and make it here safely. It's a nice day outside, so see everybody outside tailgating, and we appreciate everyone coming out, obviously supporting Syracuse. One of the big issues with the Dome and thoughts of the future is that the Dome can bring in just under 50,000 seats that they can provide. Last game, 26,000. There weren't 26,000 people there, but there was 26,000 announced attendance. So when you look at that, you look at that number, and that's half full, but it was less than that. What is it about getting fans out? I mean, is it at this point winning is going to cure all and that's it? Or is there something else that you think? Because the conversation's always going on of what can people do. Floyd Little's been out in the community, seen people at Wegmans, and has said to me that someone will walk up to him, Floyd, I love you, I love the team, love what you guys are doing, love Schaefer, and he'll say, do you have tickets? And they'll say they're too expensive, they're $99 for seven games. I can't make it up to the Dome because I don't like to walk up the hill. He's heard everything. What is it in your mind? Is it just winning and that's it, or is there another reason?
I mean, wisdom would tell me that winning cures all ills, you know, but you know, I can't put my finger on it, you know, for the simple fact that me personally, I mean, I'm a true former athlete at Syracuse, former graduate at Syracuse. You know, I bleed orange, and for the simple fact that I don't care if they're 0-12, 4, 5, 6 years in a row. I'm going to go watch and support my Syracuse University football team, because sometimes it's more than just the game of football. You know, it's about the individuals that play the game also. You know, these are human beings. These are souls. These are people out there who each and every day that you don't see. All you see is game day. You don't see them going to class. You don't see them working to try and be better. You don't see them trying to get in that starting lineup and what they go through, the bumps, the bruises, every single day. I played here 4 years in Syracuse. And yes, we won up there, and yes, it was all great and everything to see that. But you didn't have to see me sometimes struggle in a class and have to get a tutor. But sometimes when I hurt my foot or I got a bruise or the turf burns or the things, the small things that added up. So these young men out there, whatever sport it is up here, putting their heart and soul to be the best they possibly can be, I'm always going to support them, you know, because I would support the individual out here who's working hard to try and better himself. I would support him also. So why wouldn't I support, you know, athletes? You know, we put them on a bigger pedestal because we pay money to come and watch them play a game. You know, you shouldn't put them on a pedestal like that. It's like, you know, you choose to go watch that game. No one's forcing you to watch that game. But in saying that, understand that these young men, these young women are busting their behinds each and every single day behind the scenes. It's like a dog. You throw a dog in a lake and you can see the dog's head above water. You're like, oh, what a cute dog. But what you don't see is underneath that dog paddling, you know, with feverishly just to stay afloat and just to stay alive. So that's what I see when I see these young athletes out there trying their hardest to be the best that they possibly can. And I'm always going to support that.
Syracuse fans have constantly, in the 21st century, talked about recruiting, that Greg Robinson killed it all, Doug Marrone started to get it back. But the best recruiting that I've seen personally, talking with players around the country, traveling down to meet some of these players that have committed to Syracuse, that Scott Schaefer's staff, with their charisma, their honesty, how upfront forward they are with everything that's going on, how they respect the player, they go after good students. They don't go after the five stars that are going to get in trouble, that are going to steal crab legs, that are going to have to go to court and testify in situations. They're going after the right people, which I respect. And they're going after strong athletes that are strong students. And if you're not a strong student, you don't make it. Wide receiver KJ Williams, never made it here. Safety Marquise Blair, supposed to be with the team this year, not here right now. Robert Washington, who a lot of people thought Syracuse, it was their fault. If you go and you listen to the story that I have up on wakeupcalldt.com, you could get the truth from his father, from his family, that Robert was not in school. Robert was not enrolled in a school, was not enrolled to play football, so he wouldn't even have been eligible if Syracuse had been able to keep him. So the battles that Syracuse is losing are not with four stars and five stars. It's with kids that don't take life seriously. They're winning with the two stars, three stars, the Eric Dungies that nobody knows, that help a team to 2-0. What can you say about how Syracuse is doing recruiting right now? And even though the stars aren't there, they're still finding athletes that go to school, go to bed, and aren't getting caught downtown in trouble.
You know, me personally, and I'm a little biased for the simple fact that I believe in, you know, taking care of your own. And by that, I mean, there's so many local athletes around here that may not be on that brink of stardom, but you know what? If you start recruiting them earlier, maybe, all right, maybe say you don't offer them a scholarship, but let them know as a freshman, let them know as a sophomore, let them know as a junior that, you know what, you think they're talented and you're interested. You know what? For the simple fact that, and I say this because, you know, look at myself. You know, myself, Scott Swades, Chris Gedney, Tim Green, I can go on and on and on about local kids here that I only went to Syracuse one and played well, also made it to the NFL. All of us were high draft picks also, you know, and the list goes on. You know what? And I was saying to someone, name the local kid here from Syracuse, you know, that's a star or the marquee player in the team. There is none.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's hard for a community to relate to a university when you can't relate to an individual that's a part of that organization. You know, and that's just how it is. You know, I mean, when I played here at Syracuse, the community could relate to me. There were times that I would go just to practice. I would have a fan base of 20 to 30 family members at practice. You know, and that made me work harder, not for the simple fact that I was playing for Syracuse, but the simple fact that I was playing for a community, I was playing for a family, and I was playing for a group of people that appreciate what it was I was doing. So it made me work that much harder. And if you could take a local athlete, he's going to work that much harder than the superstar you bring in from the South or the superstar you bring in from out West. Because trust me, I saw it for 4 years. I saw guys who were very, very talented that basically rested on their laurels. And I mean, and by that I mean would give you half effort. I never gave a half effort in the 44 games I played in Syracuse, I played my heart out for the simple fact that I wasn't just playing for myself. I was playing for a community, and I was playing for a town that really appreciated what I did, and they gave me the opportunity to be successful.
When you say that you play as hard as you possibly could, never took a playoff, back when you were playing, if you got a concussion, there was some very interesting tests. You know, follow my finger.
Give me my helmet.
Yeah. Do you have a concussion? Just, you know, quite not really a doctor looking at you, just kind of, are you okay to go? You told me that when you were in situations where you quite possibly could have had a concussion, probably did have a concussion, they had to literally take your helmet and take every helmet around you, because if you found a helmet, you went back on the field with or without the coach's permission. There was a game where you, and I think it's important to say for those that are listening in on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt and here live at Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Cross Ave, there was a game where you had two concussions, back to back. Not a lot of people, that's got a high rate of not necessarily surviving that on the field. What can you say about your drive, your will, the fact that your head is ringing, but you went after your helmet? What made that fire inside of you? Because, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the healthiest thing for you, but you were thinking about team, you were thinking about winning the game, and you always put other people with you. It wasn't just about Rob Drummond. It's never been about Rob Drummond, which is why you're sitting next to me, because you're not that type of person. And I value that. Go back to those moments. What made you fight to the point of saying, I can't see straight, give me my helmet?
The funny thing is, and you know, you always see the highlights of the Michael Owens two-point conversion during the West Virginia game, the undefeated season. The reason Michael Owens was in that play was because of my second concussion. And the doctor, I've had about four or five doctors tell me I was very, very lucky, for the simple fact it's usually the second concussion in most athletes that kill them. You know, because your head is already, they were giving me some medical term I couldn't understand, but it's a second concussion that can kill you. But I remember getting the first one and just sitting on the sideline and just chomping at the bit to get back in the game, because it was back and forth. You know what? And I knew my teammates needed me out there, you know, for the simple fact that, you know, we're a family, we're a brotherhood, you know, and I would like ride or die, you know, if you understand that term, you know, for my teammates, you know, and not that I'm some superstar player that, you know, was like Superman and ran out there and performed magic, but the simple fact that I was just always hardcore, grind it out, go out there, depend on me. If you need me to block, I'll block. If you need me, you know, to catch a pass, I'll catch a pass. Whatever you need me to do, as long as we fit in like a jigsaw puzzle, because that's all a football team is a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and I'm a part of that piece. So that's the one reason on the sideline, I looked at what they did, like you said, did all these concussion tests, look up, look down, you know, count back from 10. It's like, and I'm sitting there saying to myself in my mind, these guys are fools. Just give me my helmet and let me go back out there. And literally to the point where they gave me my helmet and let me go back out there, and I got my second concussion. You know, but that's just the unity that people who've never played the game or people who've never been a part of an organization like that, my organization, I mean a football family, don't understand. All you see is what you see on Sundays, or game days for the NFL, what you see on Saturdays or game days for college. You don't see what leads up to that. You know, take the average, ordinary, everyday life. You know, look at what you lead up to get to your point. I mean, I look at all these people out here who are working right now, and I can only imagine what took them to get to this point in the day right now. You know, I can see some yawning. I can see some tired. I know the hard work it took to get to this point. But you know what? They're here to try and do the best they possibly can to get through the day. That's all football players are trying to do also. They're trying to do the best they possibly can and get through the day. And once people start seeing it from that aspect, and not just about win, I mean, they'll start to be more successful. And Syracuse right now just has to go out there and approach this game for the simple fact that do the best you possibly can. You know what? If you lose, learn from it and move past it. But you know what? Live to adversity. Understand that you're not perfect. No one's perfect. You know, it's okay to make mistakes, but try and limit those mistakes, and try and go out there and understand that by not being perfect, it's okay to make mistakes, but try to be the best you can possibly every day. And that's what football's about.
And when you make that mention for the people that, you know, are the true Syracuse fans that, you know, woke up at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock this morning to get ready for this game. People walking around 4 hours before game day to, you know, the staff at Orange Crate Brewing Company, which from RC to everybody here, I mean, I've heard stories from everybody making those statements that they just worked and left at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. last night. And then they come back at 8 a.m., 8:30 to open it at 9 o'clock. I think if you look around the city, this is a blue-collar town. And just as much as the people working at Orange Crate Brewing Company maybe had 2 hours of sleep, maybe had no sleep, Syracuse, in the same respect, watching film, practicing, going out and saying, you know what, I didn't catch enough passes in practice, bring the quarterback out, Steve says, Dungy, let's go out, and they're under the lights, and they're playing out there. They're going into their facility that they have now that they can use anytime. Even with Scott Schaefer saying, Tuesday night, after interviews, Seamus Shanley, the right guard, who is a local guy from Camillus, he was up in the room watching film of every single offensive line play in practice from that day by himself. And that's Schaefer's going through, wakes up in the morning, he's doing whatever he has to do to go through recruiting, see what, you know, depending on what time it is, going through that, doing his meetings, doing the conference call, going to practice, coaching the team, and then coming to interviews again, and then walking around and seeing what his players are doing. A lot of these guys don't sleep. Success of a player is not necessarily sleeping. I own my own company, you do as well. I drove from Harrisburg for the birth of my nephew, drove from Harrisburg to Binghamton to here within the last few hours, got 3 hours of sleep so that I could be here and be dedicated to this community to do this show that I could have easily just said, you know what, baby in the family, I'm not coming. You, I'm sure, from this week to where you are right now, didn't get that much sleep to come do this show, go do Time Warner show, go to the game, and then go from there, and as well as support your son. So this town is full of people that don't know how to sleep necessarily, but we don't get the credit like New York City does. How, when you look at this team and you look at Syracuse now, are some of these guys the non-sleepers? Are some of these guys hungry from what you've seen and what you know? And I'll answer this too from knowing a lot of these guys coming through high school, but do you see them as the blue collar, even if they're not from Syracuse? Are they the junkyard dogs that don't know how to go to bed?
You know what? The first thing you have to answer is, what is hunger? You know, and then once you find out what hunger is, for me, hunger is the will, the drive, desire to never have anybody outwork me. You know, and I teach that to my sons, and I teach that to anybody that knows anything about me understands that. It's like, you know what? To outwork me is to kill me. You know, and that's how I was successful in the game of football. You know, it's as you said before. All you saw was game day. You didn't see what led me up to that game day. You know, the getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, coming down to Manly Fieldhouse to run 140s, coming down to Manly to work out. You know, going to class, getting back from class, going to meetings in college. From we had to be in our chairs at the meetings at 2 o'clock. We didn't get done until about 11 o'clock when we had to walk back up the Skytop. We did this every day for 4 years in a cycle. Even in the NFL, we had to be sitting in our chairs at 8 o'clock. We didn't drive out of there at 6 o'clock at night, and that was every day. You know, and the physicality of that game is unbelievable. When you're playing against the biggest, strongest, most athletic men, you know, in America, and they're hitting you every single day. And I said this to someone the other day, the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life was go through training camp in the NFL, because it's a month and a half of just physically, you know, I had to sit there and have Reggie White hit me, Seth Joyner hit me, Eric Allen hit me, Byron Evans hit me over and over and over again. And then somehow find a way to wake up, you know, the next morning, you know, at 6 o'clock to get ready to do it again and again and again. You have to have love. You have to have passion, and you have to have a hunger. That's what I said. Once you define hunger and what it is you are willing to sacrifice to be successful, you'll be successful. If not, it's okay to not want it and not have that drive and not have the desire. But don't never knock anybody else down or never, you know, take away from somebody else who has that drive, that passion, that desire, that hunger to be successful. And that's the difference between a champion and a loser.
And that's an interesting point, because I feel like people, instead of wanting success for themselves and fighting for it, there are other people out there that saying, okay, I see you at level 10. I'm going to try and get you down to 7 because I'm comfortable around 7, 6, 5. They're never looking to better themselves. They're just looking to pull back the fighters. There are fighters on this team. One of them, Dante Strickland, H-back, running back for Syracuse. You didn't get to see him out there really with Wake Forest and the game plan that they had for that. But against Rhode Island, first touchdown, first collegiate game. This is a guy who, for a year and a half, living in New Jersey, did not tell his teammates, didn't tell his friends, and tell his classmates that he was living out of a hotel room with his entire family for a year and a half. Going through schoolwork, didn't have a home to come home to. Didn't want to bring, you know, nobody knew where he was going or what he was doing because he kept that life private. But he said it was one of the most embarrassing and hardest things for him to admit that my family's in this situation, but he's playing Division I football at a college that gives you a great education in Syracuse University. And he scored with just playing in a very short amount of time. There are fighters on this team, guys that don't know how to quit. And if you go up and down the line of Syracuse players, people look at touchdowns. You know, you look at a stat sheet. I look at what these guys have been through, what they've seen. The fact that Shamarco Thomas lost both of his parents, and his money that he makes to the Pittsburgh Steelers takes care of his five siblings. He said, I exist to take care of my family. I asked him that. I said, why do you always go head first? There's that one play where he ran head first into a tight end in his final season at Syracuse in the Dome. And I said, you know you could kill yourself. He said, why do you go at every play like that? I mean, some guys are going to go 110%, but he puts his whole body on the line. And he said, Dan, I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to live life than to jump head first. And he's in the NFL now. He's making money. He's in rotation on one of the best historical defenses. It's, you know, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're on their team, good, bad, or indifferent, people respect their defense because of history. So Syracuse has had a lot of those fighters, a lot of the guys that don't know how to quit, come through here. And I think that, you know, that needs to be mentioned. That needs to be respected. But one note that I wanted to make, something that you showed me, Rob, that I didn't know before coming into the show today. Here at Orange Crate Brewing Company, we are live. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, Syracuse NFL and CFL alum Rob Drummond, as well as myself, Dan Satora. In the second hour, we will be giving away the opportunity to meet, there's two tickets, to meet Tyrod Taylor, the Buffalo Bills quarterback, at an event at Get Air in Buffalo. And then I'm also going to be giving discounted tickets for the opportunity to meet Floyd Little and actually get to take a picture and talk with Floyd at Get Air Syracuse. So those will both be happening in the second hour. But before we get there, local. You can carry a little bit over 100 players on a roster in college. Central Michigan, in the state of Michigan, has 75 Michigan players. Makes up over 70% of their roster. What does that say to you? And are we missing something in this city when you look at that number?
That's what I've been reiterating for year after year after year after year. It's like, you know, when you take a local kid who's watched Syracuse growing up, you know, who's has dreams of possibly one day coming up here and starting something, starting a revolution, which is what I did when I first started playing here. It's something, you know, it's hard to explain because it's the passion, the drive, the burning desire to make what you call home, you know, that much better. Because at the end of the season, a lot of these athletes here now, what do? They go back home. You know, Ishmael goes back down south. You know, Grizzly goes back down south. You know, they're not a part, and I don't mean this in a bad way, of this community, but they weren't born here in Syracuse. They weren't raised here in Syracuse. They don't know the heritage, the hard work, and what it's like to be a individual or living in this city. So that's just something that gives you that extra drive, that extra passion, that extra, you know, desire to be able to go out there and make something good that you know is good. And in that same respect, I always say that a good judge of people, and this is with everyone, get them out of their comfort zone and see how they react. You know, if they act respectful, if they react humble, if they act like a nice person, you know, they're a good person. If they don't, they're a bad person. And saying that, an athlete's the same way. Get him out of his comfort zone and see how he reacts. If he reacts like a fool, he'll get himself in trouble, which you read about all the time in the NFL. These guys who are not humble, you know, who have no humility or humanity or things of that nature. But most guys, you know, you just brush things off and leave things alone and just be like, all right, accept it for what it is. But that's the one thing that separates, you know, great, you know, humble, athletic, you know, young men from those arrogant, ignorant fools that make mistakes and give the game a bad name.
And I think it's interesting, before we finish our first hour here, Orange Crate Brewing Company, Wake Up Call of Dance Tour, live here, 721 South Cross Avenue, 3 hours before every game day for SU football. We'll also be doing SU men's basketball, and we're doing home and away games. And hopefully Syracuse will be getting some of those 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so people have some time to sleep in on a Saturday. But when you look at two quarterbacks that I want to make mention of, because you have reps and you do a lot with that, with putting statistical numbers together to show what an athlete is capable of. Putting those numbers together and going through statistics, out of every quarterback that was in the draft for 2015, Marcus Mariota was in the top 10 statistically. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston was number 72. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston, huge ego. Marcus Mariota, no ego, to the point where John Gruden was joking with him about it, like, can you please give me some? He said, who's the best player between you and Jameis Winston? He said, whoever you say, sir. Four touchdowns in his first game. Jameis Winston looked awful, and they played against each other, which was key. Before we wrap up the first hour, I don't have stars on my website. I don't care if you're a 5-star, 12-star, if they change the system, whatever it may be. The humble, go-to-work, everyday quarterback, Marcus Mariota, is doing better than Jameis Winston. I know we're only one game in, but he's a leader. There's been some Syracuse fans that said, Dan, I'll take a Jameis Winston with all the backlash, with everything that comes with it, with all the problems, with all the issues that we have to deal with, just to say that I had a Jameis Winston. What would you say to a person in Syracuse saying, give me the 5-star Jameis, give me all his problems because he'll win games?
A lot of times people want instant success and they don't want to see someone actually have to go out there and work hard to get it. You know, nothing is given to you in life. You have to go out there and work for it. And Jameis is not a humble person. You know, just look at it. If he had one instance where he gotten into trouble and things of that nature, you can chalk it up to being his youth and things of that nature. But you know what? Just look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton had an incident in college and everything. You know, but since then, has Cam Newton done anything? No. Has he been successful now? Yes. He's got commercials now. He's doing advertising himself and marketing himself. No. Whereas I don't think Jameis is going to be a success in his NFL or in the NFL. I actually think he's going to be a bust. But from the simple fact that I think Marcus Mariota, with his humbleness, with his soft-spoken style, which, I mean, actually they got on him about that, for the simple fact that he was so soft-spoken.
Yeah.
But you know what? Simple fact is this young man goes in, he works hard. He works hard not just to be a great athlete. He works hard to be a gentleman. And I'll take that any day. Fools that think that they're bigger than the game.
That coming from Rob Drummond, Syracuse CFL and NFL alum, and in the top three for yards per carry with Ernie Davis and Jim Brown in the history of Syracuse football. Man knows what he's talking about. Myself, Dan Tortora, we're live here 3 hours before every single home and away game for Syracuse football, and we'll also be here for Syracuse men's basketball coming up with some interesting guests that we'll have come in for that as well. In the second hour, we will be giving away an opportunity to meet and get an autograph from Tyrod Taylor, Buffalo Bills starting quarterback. And I'll also have discounted tickets for your opportunity to meet Floyd Little, an event that I have coming up right after the LSU game next week. That'll all be coming here in the second hour. So for Rob and for myself, for Orange Crate, we'll be back. Thanks, Rob, as always.
Thanks, man.